president himself has actually gone out and bragged about.
Perhaps the most notorious Twitter user on planet Earth today is President Donald Trump, who uses his account @RealDonaldTrump to complain about political opponents and personal enemies, and he has blocked numerous accounts from interacting. But while his personal rants gain the most attention, Trump has also used that specific Twitter account to promote official business and his administration's agenda. And that's what raises a legal question.
Normally, we'd say this is a private platform. It's run by Twitter. They can kind of control what speech is allowed and what's not. But is there something about the President of the United States using this to make official pronouncements about what's going on in our country that transforms it into a public forum where they don't have the right to pick and choose who gets to receive those messages?
Mark Bartholomew is a professor of law at the University at Buffalo. His student Matthew Simeone argues the president does not have a right to block users from that account. He shares an argument serving as the basis of a federal lawsuit now pending in the Southern District of New York by the Knight Institute, which along with several individuals is challenging Trump's blocks of their access.
We think that this implicates the First Amendment rights of users on Twitter who he has blocked, because essentially we're arguing that Twitter is, at least the president's personal Twitter account as he's using it now, is a designated public forum. And the president, even though he doesn't always do so, uses that account to make official statements from the president in his capacity as such. So our argument is that by blocking these users, he's denying them access to this public forum and thereby impinging their First Amendment rights.
While pointing out that even the president has First Amendment protections, Simeone notes that Trump himself could clear the muddied legal waters if he were willing to separate personal and government tweets. He notes that there are official accounts available to the president that would make this possible.
The White House and the president both each have their own official Twitter accounts. You have @WhiteHouse and @POTUS. The president does use those, but not nearly as much as he uses his personal account. And the fact that he's conflated his personal interests with those of the president on his personal account @RealDonaldTrump is the issue here.
Back in March, the judge hearing the Knight Institute case suggested that the president might instead consider muting his critics rather than block them. But the government, which is trying to get the Knight case tossed, argues muting and blocking are within the president's rights, and so that lawsuit continues. Meanwhile, another social media platform is being examined by UB law students, and this time it's Facebook and how it manages user information, as Professor Bartholomew explains.
Something that people don't realize in all the myriad Facebook scandals is a lot of what Facebook and other social media entities do is experiment on people. Without realizing what they're doing, they tweak our news feeds, they tweak the content we receive, and they decide how we react to that, and then they fine-tune their system.
Law student Matt McClellan argues it's time for Facebook to be supervised, subject to a review authority, similar to those that oversee experiments in real-life academic settings.
The big thing is that it's just to protect the people who are participating. And then you have Facebook, who, you know, it is slightly different, is more of a behavioral study, but at the same time, it does, those principles shouldn't become any less important. And then Facebook right now is currently just governing themselves. And, you know, what's to say, what's to stop them from doing something that's not appropriate?
Which is what Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg claimed happened. Testifying on Capitol Hill earlier this month, Zuckerberg described so-called malicious actors who took advantage of search tools on Facebook to collect data on its users. Political consultants Cambridge Analytica, reportedly hired by Trump and other Republicans, got their hands on the information of 71 million people. It's information that some say could have been protected if Facebook users set their security properly. But others say users should be aware their info is subject to distribution once they click the user agreement. But does that user agreement hold up? McClellan suggests how some might challenge that.
The trend is that people will often click and then move on, because they don't want to read the length of it. And it's almost the longer that it becomes, the less likely they are to read it. So to really expect people to have any kind of informed consent from this terms of service is just really, it's not practical.
Cambridge Analytica is accused of improperly utilizing Facebook information for use in U.S. and British elections. Cambridge Analytica and Facebook are now targeted in a class action lawsuit in both countries. Michael Mrosiak, WBFO News.